You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
You have to make the sum 75 cents. You can use 6 coins only. What do you do? I was like, I told her, I looked at it for half an hour. My brain started swelling, and I said, tell the teacher it's a trick question.
6 coins?
Yeah.
5 dimes and a quarter.
Yeah. There you go. Like, what the hell is going on?
Like, are you serious right now?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Cautiously optimistic Tuesday. What do you make of that? How's that sound for a title?
I can't do it. I went on Gino Retta's show and said they're in.
Last week you said that.
Yeah.
That was time ago.
If they win tonight, it's automatic they're in.
That was after they were beating the Columbus Blue Jackets and then going into the game against New Jersey, both of which they won. Should point out Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press is in here.
Special guest.
Special guest who's very objective, so he doesn't have the same emotional roller coaster that we tend to ride.
What's your take, Jonas?
Yeah, how are you feeling?
You're not
Jonas?
A fan. You don't care about anything. Let's start off with a yes guy, no guy. Are they getting in?
Maybe guy?
Dude, that's a tatty answer.
Well, like, there's so many things that can happen. We don't know when Frederik Andersen is coming back. If he doesn't come back for a week, I'm going to say it's no guy. If he comes back on Saturday, or maybe if he comes back on Thursday, it's probably more like yes guy.
I got to say, we talked about it before we came on the show. I don't like, and this is so old school Keswick mentality, I understand you got to take care of yourself, your head, your shoulders, your body. But I want Frederik Andersen to come out and say, there's no way in hell I'm going to miss more than 2 games. I'm going to be back in that net, and I'm going to leave. Like, it's just something like that. I don't want a Rudy-type speech, but as opposed to, yeah, it was a good thing they pulled me out. I agreed with it. I'm like, no, dude. Think about Eddie Belfour at center ice with his blue jeans and his leather jacket and his unshaven face accepting his Hall of Fame whatever. It's like, no.
He's a very laid-back guy in general. Goaltenders are a different breed, man. I understand what you're saying. You're looking for some intensity. You're looking for
It's not intensity. I just want him to say, I got this. I'm coming back. This is not going to be a big thing. I'm going to miss one game, and I'll be back in net, and I'm going to be good. I just want something like that as opposed to, I'm not going back in there.
But what if he doesn't know how he's feeling?
Dude, what the hell are you talking about? How do you know what
we don't know what he has? Whether
you
it's
ever
a jaw,
not known how you feel?
No, I'm saying if he has a jaw, whether it's a jaw injury, whether it's a concussion, if he has, let's say, a concussion, which we don't know.
I don't.
If
believe
you don't
it's
know,
a concussion.
Okay, if it's a jaw, what if he's still not feeling completely right? No. You don't give him a break. Like, I know what you're saying. The other thing you have to remember, and you wouldn't know this, he's kind of like quiet around cameras. You know how some guys get, like, when they get in front of cameras? So he's not as, like, outgoing as he usually is when you just talk to him face-to-face.
I understand that. I don't want a guy's personality to change. Maybe it's just I want reassurance. I don't know what it is.
I think this is a perfect example of how fans live and die by every game, and players generally don't react the same way. Remember the movie, was it Fever Pitch, the Jimmy Fallon movie? Where it was about the Red Sox going on that run, and he's at the bar, and the team was down 3-0 or whatever, and he's freaking out. He's like, the Sox, they suck. They're not going to get it together. They better figure it out. And then he looks over, and like Veritek and Damon and whoever else was sitting there like having beers, and he freaks out about how they could continue to live their personal life or continue to live as if nothing's that, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And I know that's a movie, but I really think that actually shines a light on the way most people feel. Like, the fishing trip is a perfect example. I saw a lot of people tweeting in and commenting on that picture of Marner saying, here I am working my ass off 9 to 5. All I'm thinking about is the game. I can't wait for the game. And you're out there fishing. You don't even care about the game. Fans live and die by it every second of the day. Athletes don't think about it that way.
It's their job.
It's their job. They just plug along. You have to be mentally stable. You have to be more even-keeled if you're in the bubble. You have to be. Because if you're panicking and freaking out, like, could you imagine if Freddie Anderson was panicking right now or Babcock came out and said, we're in big trouble. McElhaney's just not going to get the job done. It would have a negative effect on the team. They've got to act as if this is just par for the course and, hey, here we go, and now Mac is in tonight. Let's see what happens. Well, they have to give off that impression.
One of the NFL teams that is now relocating to Vegas, they had a Cinderella season going last year. And what happened to them? Their quarterback.
Derek Carr got injured, and you knew they were done. And they were done. They got into the playoffs, but they got smoked. They knew they were done. And that's the truth. It's the most important position in the sport. Mm-hmm. It's going to have an effect on how the team plays because McElhaney cannot supply you with Frederick Anderson type of production and performances. But McElhaney is still an NHL player. He's been a backup for a long time. My concern is the amount of pressure he's going to put on himself because Curtis McElhaney is in a very different position than he's ever been in before. This is foreign territory for him. He is being tasked with keeping this team afloat and getting them into the playoffs. Backups generally don't have to do that.
Yeah, he's not riding out the last eight games saying, let's just mail this in. And
here's another thing that's on his plate, and I'd be shocked if it hasn't popped into his mind. He's playing for a new contract in Toronto. He's a UFA at the end of the year. I think they like him. I think they like his approach behind the scenes. I think they feel pretty comfortable with him. If it goes south on them, that will change the minds of Lamoriello, Shanahan, Babcock. If he plays well, let's say he's got to start the next three or four games.
It could be a factor in them bringing him back.
I think if he plays well the next three or four games, I think he will be back.
Really?
Absolutely.
I think they need a better backup goalie.
Jonas,
and this is exactly why.
If he gives you, well, for starters, what are your expectations on what a better backup goalie is?
Someone who's not one of the worst goalies in the league.
How is he one of the worst goalies in the league?
Look at the statistics. Pull up the statistics. I looked since he came into the league.
He's one of the worst goalies.
He is one of the worst of the.
With save percentage, you're right. But you know what also. Do you know how awful of a take that is? Is that save percentage is the only thing that defines a goaltender? Is that what you're saying? Because I've seen some people say. Is that your belief? That's the only way you define a goaltender?
No, but what else do you want us to judge him on a 10-year career?
For starters, this year is a perfect example of it. Freddie Anderson and James Reimer, I believe, have around the same save percentage.
They do, but
who do you think is
the
better
games.
Goalie?
Frederick Anderson.
But then
he's half the game. He's played double the amount of games.
Okay, so since when does that apply to save percentage? Because last time I checked, people are like, Scott Darling's this unbelievable goaltender. Well, he doesn't play a lot, but he's got a good save percentage.
He's played this like the same number
as Ryan. He's brutal.
I don't know what the argument we're having here is.
You made the argument that save percentage is the only thing that defines a goaltender, and I'm saying it doesn't.
Give me your statistical evidence that says he's not one of the worst goalies.
I'm not supplying you with all of these statistics. What I'm doing is shooting down how shallow it is to say only save percentage defines
a
goaltender.
So give me something else to define him by.
Well, with a backup, there's a lot that defines them with it. For starters, what is your ability? When you don't play for a month, where's your head at?
He had a sub-900 save percentage last year.
He's a backup, Jonas.
But you want a backup who can play.
You think you're getting a 920 save percentage from a backup?
What is Scott Darling doing this year?
He's for starters, he's on a better team. Secondly, did you see him last night?
I think
thirdly, he's not a very good. He's not good either. Scott Darling's not any good.
I don't know. I don't know how you can make the case that you don't want someone who can actually play competently for 20 plus games and be a fill-in in case your number one gets injured. That's like to me. That's
Jonas. I would love two number ones. I'm talking about what living in a real world.
I know, but I don't know why Curtis McElhaney would be your first choice.
Jonas Enroth was that. Wasn't he?
I think Jonas Enroth's a bit better than Curtis McElhaney.
But what happened to him?
Mike Babcock did not like him.
No, he played horribly.
Because he played four games and was bad. Four games. Have you had four bad games?
He's a backup. He's a backup goalie. That's what McElhaney is.
Did he find his way into the league some other capacity? No.
He's lighting it up in the AHL.
Yeah, good for him. That's where he belongs.
Anyway,
I'm just saying you want a better backup goalie than Curtis McElhaney.
I'll grant you that in a perfect world, you'd love the best backup in the league. That'd be great. But look at Florida right now. James Reimer, they're paying him like he's a borderline starter. How's that working out for them?
Well, it goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
Oh, really? So now it goes deeper when it's your argument, when it's
deeper.
On your side. Yeah, give me more deeper thoughts on that.
You like the guy, and he's just a great guy, and he's all smiles.
I'm not
going
to. No, hey, he has not been great the last little while.
He's been terrible.
Neither is that team. He's playing every game, literally every game.
Well, the analytics say that it's supposed to be awesome, so I don't know where that.
Anyway, my point is with McElhinney. He's a backup. That's what he is. I'm not arguing that he should be a starter or that he's even an upper echelon backup. Mm-hmm. But I believe, and this is courtesy of Noodles in a lot of ways, when it comes to a backup, there is so much more that goes into it than the save percentage in his 15 starts.
Fair.
You have to be supportive of the starter. You have to work well with the starter. You have to have an attitude that is conducive to being a backup because Freddie Anderson is the guy. So anyone you bring in better not have an attitude that he's better than Freddie and that can steal the net from him because the Leafs don't want that. They went down that road with Reimer and Bernier and it blew up in their face. They don't want that. They want a guy who is a legit backup, who signs up for his 15 games, who's on the ice first, off the ice last. Like, that's all
that
a part
can
of what comes.
That cost you a playoff position. I want to, like, if
has McElhinney not done his job, though, since they claimed him?
He's been fine. He's been fine. He hasn't looked great a lot of the time, but he's been fine. But the point is, like, you want someone, your number one qualification for a backup shouldn't be whether he's a good teammate. It should be whether he can play. And there's evidence to suggest that Curtis McElhinney is on the very bottom of the league in terms of goaltenders. So why wouldn't you want to get someone better? That's just all I'm saying.
Okay, so you're saying that if he plays really well here, based on what he's done already.
It would not matter to me if I was running things. I'm not saying it won't matter to them.
Okay, well, I'm saying I think it will.
Maybe it will.
I think he's likely playing for another contract here. I'm not saying it would be an outrageous contract. I think 1 year, $900,000, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think if he keeps the boat afloat, which ultimately is what you really want out of your backup. Again, you're talking about rare situations where guys get hurt at big moments and you need a guy to step in.
And Brian, even if he just keeps it afloat, maybe it's not Toronto. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe he stays in the league.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm alluding to here is
He's
fighting for something. He's fighting for a position.
But
right,
your original
in the league.
Point is big in terms of they need him to just be okay. Like, if he can just be competent and just not look like he looked against Jersey, maybe they'll be fine. But if he has to play five games, four games.
But here's the thing, though. You're talking about looks, but statistically against Jersey, what
fine.
Happened?
Yeah, he was okay.
So what's important here? That he looks like
but that's
a
one
great
game.
Goaltender.
Can he do that 2, 3, 4 times?
But he's got a good percentage when he's been in Toronto.
Yeah.
Since in Toronto, he's been more than competent as a backup.
Sure.
And quite frankly, when you're into a position like they are tonight and potentially over the next 3 or 4 games, maybe the final 8, I don't care if the guy looks like the biggest sieve in the league as long as they win.
But like you said, he's never done this before. That's interesting.
It's a very difficult spot for him. And I am concerned about that. Like, how is he going to handle it? And furthermore, how is the team going to handle it? What is the mood in the building going to be like? If he gives up a bad goal or 2 bad goals 5, 6 minutes into the game tonight, that place will get dark quickly.
It'll get ugly in there.
Because
it happened the last game with New Jersey. It was just a
bad goal.
Wrister off the wing. And
but they reacted okay from it. They scored a little bit later and then took control.
Well, exactly. And he got it back on the rails. Didn't look great during it, but he got it back on the rails and picked up a win for them. And that's what he's done since he's been here. I don't know what else you want. I mean, I don't know what you're looking for. What are you really looking for out of Curtis McElhinney? Here I am defending him, and I'm the one who I'm nervous about what he's going to do. I have no idea how he's going to play over the next few starts.
Well, given the
I don't feel great about it, clearly, but
yeah, given the state of their backup position before, I mean, it wasn't great when they were bouncing between like Antoine Bebo and who else was in there. It was like
anyway, Jonas. We got to come up with a poll question today, and it might include.
Do
yourself.
You want a better backup for the Leafs than Curtis McElhinney? Yes or no?
Yes or no? I guess it's a moot point going into tonight.
In Curtis McElhinney.
Who the hell's available?
But that was my point, is that what do you think you're really going to get out there? Anyway, we got Brian McCabe on the line. Your boy.
Ugly face.
You want to bring him in here before the big game tonight? He's working with the Panthers.
Brian, we're going to start a new segment. We want you to refresh our memories. We're going to call it Pat Quinn's favorite. We got a guy. Can you recall your favorite "We got a guy" speeches from Pat? Do any come to mind?
My favorite is we're in Carolina and we got shelved. We had a video session the next morning, and he showed the video, and it was me, of course. He goes, "We got a guy who thinks he's a Zamboni out here." And I was laying in front of net on my stomach, swinging my arms on like a two-on-one. I just got roasted for a goal. Never said your name, but I knew it was me. So that was one of my favorites for sure.
Is there none else that come to your mind? Tux actually mentioned another one to me.
Which one?
He said, "We got a guy who shoots at 106 in the skills competition, but he can't clear it on a penalty kill." And that was you too.
That is awesome. Oh, we could go on and on about lines about him. Oh, so many good stories about Pat.
Why wouldn't he just say your name? Everyone knows
the
elephant in the room.
I don't know.
It was like his thing. He'd never like call you out, but everyone knew exactly who he was talking about, and he'd just go around the room and, "We got another guy who twinkle toes won't block a shot." And then everyone will look over there, and it's O-Dog flamingoing in the picture, one leg up in the air.
"We got a guy." It's one of my favorite lines.
It is. We got to turn it into a segment the day after games. "We got a guy."
"We got a guy
who made a bad change."
Well, I mean, we got a big game in the city tonight, and you've been up here, obviously, over the years, and my understanding is you've been up here over the past few days. Has it been kind of nostalgic for you? I mean, when you were playing here late 90s, early 2000s, you guys were in the playoffs every single year. It hasn't been that case for a decade now. How would you compare the feeling in Toronto today to what you went through in the early 2000s?
There's a buzz, definitely, in the city. I went down to the rink today just to see a pregame skate and see the guys. But definitely all the security guards and everyone's really excited. And, you know, it has been a long time, so I'm sure that people are itching. You know, they're right in the thick of things here. They're in the driver's seat. So, you know, I'm sure the fans are biting their nails and sitting on the edge of their seats hoping they can pull it off.
What was it like, Caber, during those years? You know, I have a lot of people come up to me. You know, they're like, "It must suck playing in Toronto." And I always tell people, I'm like, I sat in the back of the bus and I listened to the guys like yourself and Matts and Tux talk about the times in the playoffs. I mean, there's nothing else like it playing in Toronto, because everyone's like, "Oh, when the team sucks, the media is hard on you guys." But I said, listen to these guys. It's a hell of a lot of fun playing in the playoffs as a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yeah, there isn't anything like it. Like, the whole city just grasps it. You know, there's a parade down Yonge Street after every round. You can't really explain it. You know, everyone's dressed in blue and hats, and people get behind you. It's a fun place to play when things are going well. And it went well for us for a bunch of years until we ran into O-Dog with one eye open, scoring OT winners on us in the playoffs and dashing my dreams of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was pretty gutless. What overtime was that? First one or second overtime? That was game one, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he took a freaking eye shot. He comes out, and we lost three games in OT in that that series there. But, yeah, it brings back a lot of good memories. You know, like I said, they have a diehard fan base here, and they deserve a playoff team, you know, and they deserve this city deserves it for sure. It's been a long time, so, you know, I wish them nothing but the best of luck.
With Brian McKay, what was that like leaving the ACC when those parades were going on down Yonge Street? I mean, all of downtown. I remember being down there for most of them, if not all of them. As a player coming out, like, oh, you talk about this all the time. When you're in the rink, you don't know what's going on. You have no idea what the...
No, you go underground tunnel into the locker room and onto the ice.
Right. But when you're driving out, whatever time it is, I mean, I'm sure the buzz was still there. What was that like to drive through any of it?
Yeah, it was crazy. You couldn't get out of the rink. Like, the streets were shut down, and then just even walking around at playoff time, like, you know, it's always spring and the patios are open. I used to live in Yorkville there, and you wouldn't be able to walk around. You know, people just yelling, you know, "Go Leafs," and everyone's behind you 110% pulling for you. It was a lot of fun to be around.
With Brian McCabe here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Your Florida Panthers, they were in the playoffs a year ago. This year it's been a difficult year with injuries, and it's kind of slipped away over the past couple of weeks. And I guess they're playing the role of spoiler. You would have done that throughout your career, Brian, you as well. I mean, I'm not sure I believe it. I mean, does it actually happen? Like, is there a
it's
pep talk
simple.
Before the game?
Caber, I don't know what your thoughts on it. When you're on a bad team, you're just trying not to make an ass of yourself and not embarrass yourself. And you can say you're acting like you're caring, but you just have to be a pro. They talk about being a pro. You have to go out there. You're still getting paid. You're still in the NHL. You just can't go out there and mail it in because that's basically what the situation is. Caber, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, you just it's always a tough situation when you're on the outside looking in. I don't think anyone's rawing it up, like, let's knock these guys out. But on the other hand, you're a paid professional, and you're paid to perform. And, you know, it's a respect factor comes into it. You want to go out on a good note. And, you know, a lot of guys play for contracts the next year or jobs with other teams, and you don't want to be known as a guy who packed it in down the stretch or anything like that. So there is a pride factor for sure. It's always a tough situation when the season's coming to a close and you're, you know, a few points out and just not close enough. It's really takes a toll on you mentally for sure. It's tough to grind her out.
How's the new teeth, buddy? Good?
They're all good, buddy. They are all good. Have you worked on yours yet? I know it's going to be a big paycheck to fix those yellow jibs.
What did yours cost you?
Way too much, buddy.
Like 50 G's?
Much. No, not that much. I think it's like $1,500 a tooth or something ridiculous. And I had a whole mouthful, so you can do the math yourself.
That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money.
$1,500 tooth?
Those teeth are expensive, especially when they were as bad as mine were.
So did you get both layers done, like top and bottom?
Hang on a sec. Did you pick the color of the new ones?
Yeah, just I didn't go, like we talked about this last time, I didn't go straight white. You can't go piano white like Fathead did. You got to go somewhere in between. You can't go corn on the cob to piano key. You got to go like neutral cream ivory color.
Well, we got a guy with some new jibs. They
we
look good,
we got a guy with new teeth.
They look good, Brian. We appreciate you taking time for us as always.
Hey, anytime, guys, anytime.
There's Brian McCabe. He always sounds so excited on the way out. He's like, thank you for finally letting me off the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know why he comes on the show.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Yeah, I think we got to stop with the teeth material. That's three in a row where we just bury the guy for his fake teeth.
We're just asking questions, right?
Yeah, it's kind of investigative journalism, I think. Do you think there'll be a parade if the Leafs win a round like it was up Yonge Street? Do you think that'll continue?
I think worse, man. Worse.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
People are starving. You saw what it was like Boston against Toronto. That Maple Leaf Square, if they get into the second round, that thing will be out to my condo in Etobicoke. I'm telling you, it'll be nuts.
I know, man. I remember.
Because
I
all the people that are like, nah, I'm done with the Leafs. They get in, they're all back. They're all back.
Well, I think they're back right now. Like, these are the playoffs right now. Like, tonight feels like a playoff.
They were all back as soon as Shanny and crew went on the stage and
Pick had Matthews the yes. And yeah. I don't know, Jonas.
It has been 13 years.
That's what I'm saying. You got a new crowd, and a lot of that was younger people.
You know the new crowd with the Blue Jays. They're excited. Well, they're loud. These people will go nuts.
And the whole Jurassic Park thing, you saw how many people came out for that. And that wasn't winning a series. I think he's right.
I hope so.
Will you be there?
No.
We will be for work.
Yeah, I'll be hopefully down at the ring, but I won't be going up and down Yonge. I did that when I was young, more so just to experience it because there were so many people down there. You know, when you're whatever age, 17, 18, 19, you're like, yeah, let's go for a ride. It feels like half the city's driving up and down Yonge Street. I hope that continues, but I don't know. That's part of the reason why other teams hate Leaf fans. They parade after a playoff win, like a round. Forget
the cup. Something wrong with that?
No. I say embrace it. What's the problem with that? Every round, it feels like you've completed something. You've achieved something, you know? But I don't know if you see that in other cities. Just winning a playoff round gets a reaction like that. We'll see. It's all up to Curtis McElhinney now.
I'm telling you, I want Anderson to come out and say, one game tops, don't worry, Leaf fans. That'll bring him to Eddie Belfour status.
It is pretty remarkable that Curtis McElhinney, a guy who was not on the team, who was claimed off waivers, is now the main character in this movie. Like, he's the main character. That doesn't mean he's got to make 40 stops. He doesn't have to stand on his head. He just can't. He can't be a villain. He can't be the antagonist. He can't be
it's
awful.
Like Tom Cruise being the star of a series in the last episode, he blows a wheel, and Jack Black's got to take over for him.
Exactly. Some guy who wasn't even in the script.
Trivago guy.
As the Mission Impossible guy.
Yeah. Trivago guy is now Mission Impossible guy.
Yeah. Trivago guy has to hang on to the wing of a plane and somehow stop the terrorists. Yeah.
And beat the hell out of the pilot and get in and take over and land it.
Well, I know Jonas doesn't have faith in him getting it done, but...
thinks he's one of the worst goalies in the league.
Well, that's what...
there's a lot of people...
That's what facts would tell you.
Well,
but
Dave tweeting and saying, McElhinney has a career save percentage over .910 since he left Calgary in 2010.
Okay, but that cancels 3 years of his career. And 9-10 isn't good either.
That's a long time ago.
What are you, like an analytics nerd now? Or what?
I just know numbers.
Over 9-10 for a backup. What more would you be expecting for a backup?
That's not great. That's below league average.
League average is like, what, 9-17, 9 give or take?
Now it is.
For starters in the league.
Yeah. Anyway,
it doesn't. We don't have to rehash.
Hey, the thing is, like, he could play well tonight. He could play well if he has to play again Thursday night. That's not out of the question. He's an NHL goalie.
That's the point, right? He's capable. It's not like they've called up a guy from. It's not like Garrett Sparks is the guy who's got to run the table here. Would you be more comfortable with Garrett Sparks?
I don't know.
Wow, Jonas.
They had essentially the same save percentage last year.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Moving on. LeBron James taking some heat for his flop last night. And then his postgame comments. You talk about a contradiction. He was stomping all over his comments. So we'll play those. We'll talk about why Trump is in the news from a sports angle. Ray's coming up. Bobby Mack in studio. Leafs in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Ray Ferraro will join us at 5 p.m. Ray's got the call tonight on TSN 4. Leafs taking on the Panthers. Also, Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland will join us. The Cavs are now second place in the Eastern Conference. I think the Raptors could catch them. They're close. I mean, the Raps have, what, 8 games left? And Cleveland's got, I believe, a game in hand on them. But Cleveland has been struggling, man, big time.
I think the Raps are three games back, though. That's a lot of ground.
It's a lot of ground, but Cleveland got smoked last night.
Well, how much has your confidence in Cleveland changed now? Like, I still think there's no one who beats them, but...
Jonas, I'm going to ask the guy from Cleveland this, but I want you to answer.
Okay.
Is this the first signs of a downturn for LeBron James? This whole year has kind of been a...
He's been good, so no.
I know, but is it...
I know what you're saying. Like,
how many
is this
years
when
in the past... Since he's been in the league, has he not even been in the equation as the MVP?
No, but he is in the equation. Like, he's considered one of four.
He's not going to win it, though.
No, he'll be
fourth. He's not going to win it. Probably. But LeBron's still, I think he's still the best player in the world. But
okay,
everything.
I'm not asking.
No. But everything around him has.
There seems to be so much controversy now.
And yeah, and the rest of his teammates are not pulling their weight. Let's be honest. He's at the back end of his prime.
Yeah.
Like he's on the 10th tee.
He is. He might be even further along the back nine than that. Like, he's, what, 31, turning 32? He's got more miles on him than any player in history at this age.
His season is start, exhibition, to the finals every year.
And he's playing the most minutes in the league.
All right. We'll come back and talk a little bit about LeBron, about how he reacted to being grazed by the elbow of David Lee last night. And his comments post-game. Also, Donald Trump in the news. Well, he's
always
in the news.
quiet.
But there's a sports angle to it. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. All right, Grit Grinder later in the hour. Raptors with another win last night. We were debating whether or not Terrence Ross would be acknowledged on the big screen, and it happened really quickly. I believe the first stoppage of the game. And it was a pretty lengthy video montage. I'm surprised they found that many positive moments from Terrence Ross as a Raptor. But they gave
him
a shout-out.
Must be nice to get the video tribute.
They got
it. Just another guy. Another guy.
You're still bitter you didn't get one in Carolina.
Yeah, it pisses me off. I think it was a joke.
And you were there for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, I'm top five in a lot of categories there.
Yeah. Terrence Ross has been here for like 3.5 years. Yeah.
And I told you, I was prepping to wave to the crowd when I went back for the first game. Every TV timeout and nothing.
Did you find out why?
Apparently, they just didn't want to do it.
Did you make any enemies there?
Apparently, somebody. Apparently, somebody with some authority, too.
When you were playing, did they do it for any other returning players?
That I can't remember.
Like, maybe it was a long-standing policy. It's not like they just created it specifically for you.
I'm pretty sure they've done it in the past where they acknowledge players that come back.
Well, T-Ross got the shout-out last night. The Raptors won big.
Of course.
But the bigger news in the Eastern Conference was the fact that Cleveland lost again. They cannot defend. Kevin Love's back, but he didn't do anything last night. LeBron James, I'm going to play a post-game comment from him that is going to lead to him getting ripped. I mean, I know people are ripping on him today anyway. And you know how I react to LeBron. I am a LeBron James apologist. I've said this many times on the show. I think he might be the greatest player of all time. I think he gets harped on for the stupidest reasons. And people don't enjoy him as much as they should. People take runs
out there for some of it, though.
That's the problem. And last night that happened. That was a flop. Like he got grazed by David Lee's elbow. He walks to half court and then goes into the fetal position.
He did that against Toronto a couple times last year in the playoffs, where it was embarrassing.
Last night was embarrassing. Last night there was a Tiger element to it as well. They were down by 30 plus, and I think he said, "Get me out. I'm done." I think if that game's tied, LeBron doesn't even recognize the fact that David Lee touched him. Like I've said many times, Tiger Woods' back has never gone wonky when he's 3 under par. If he's on pace to shoot 78, oop, glutes. The glutes aren't shooting. So, sorry, can't play. Pull the golf cart out. And I think LeBron did that last night. That's an embarrassing position for him to put himself in. But listen to what he said postgame. Because he's trying so hard not to make excuses for the way that they're playing. And the fact that they've been losing as many games as they've been losing. But he just can't help himself. He can't stop from actually making an excuse.
Well, I mean, I'm not one to... I hate excuses. It's not what I'm about. It's never what I've been about. I don't like talking about injuries. I don't like talking about, you know, the schedule and things of that nature. Listen, our schedule is our schedule. We've got 17 games this month. We've been in 6 different time zones in the last 8 days. It is what it is.
That sounds like an excuse, doesn't it?
6 different time zones in the last 8 days.
17 games in the month of March.
That's a great media tactic where the coach will come out after a game and say, we're not ones to make excuses, but, you know, we have played back-to-back. It was a tough travel in.
Like protecting his team almost. You expect it from a coach. But LeBron...
I just never bought into any of that. As you guys both know, I have a very simple approach to anything I do in life, and I don't care if you fly across the country. I don't care if you got in late. Once the puck drops or it's tip-off or whatever, do you just have the ability to get it done or not? Like, I don't care how you feel. If you feel like crap, can you overcome it? I had excuses, too. I had a bunch of them, but it was just big picture. It's just... Can you get it done? I don't care where you are, what time zone or whatever. It's just game on. Can you do it?
Perfect segue into the Donald Trump news, because he came up with an excuse to break a longstanding tradition in Washington.
That doesn't sound like him.
It sounds very unlike him, actually.
What, throwing out the first pitch?
Throwing out the first pitch for the national games. This went back over 100 years when they were the Washington Senators in 1910. Every year the president comes out, throws out the first pitch, waves to the crowd,
and
walks off.
Isn't.
He's citing a scheduling conflict. I think it's that he doesn't want to throw a pizza into the fifth row and have his hair blown everywhere. He doesn't want to be booed. He's so thin-skinned.
He'll get booed, too. And he would get like booed. That. And then he would say that everyone cheered him and they were happy to have him there.
I think maybe he's learning that it's not – why put yourself in that position where then you know you're going to lie about it and then it's only going to perpetuate the whole issue. But why not just go out there and throw? I'm very curious. I want to see if Trump can throw a ball. He's the kind of guy that would convince you he could throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
I think he was an athlete when he was a kid, so maybe he could.
Have you seen him swing a golf club? Have you seen
tight tuck?
The body type on this cat?
He has a pro barrel. Like, I call it an executive pro barrel. It's, like, elongated, and it's weird. and it's just a khaki tuck, and it's woof.
Man, that those khakis are riding high, aren't they?
Dude, there is a mammal toe.
It's and the hair is blowing, man. Oh. His whole look is something else.
Quiet.
But I think he bailed on this because he doesn't want to throw like 50 Cent, and he doesn't want the embarrassment. He wants to put forth this belief that he's exceptional at everything, and it's just
what
so
is his
soft.
Scheduling conflict?
Well, no one knows. They didn't give the answer. Just scheduling conflict, can't make it happen. I would think the president could reverse that scheduling conflict if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That meeting that he might have in a week could probably get that changed to find an hour to go down to the park and throw.
What do you think the reaction would be if he did go?
Well, I read this morning he only got like 4 or 5% of the votes in D.C. So he was not looked upon fondly in that general area. I don't know, man.
Would you go if you were him?
Yeah, I think I would. It's a long-standing tradition. You're less than 100 days in. You're already concerned about how people are going to feel about you and react to you. And
have you seen this guy?
Well, I know, but this would be a good way to kind of shoot that down, don't you think?
Ultimately, what is this, a 15-minute commitment on his end? You're in, out of the car, into the ballpark, you throw the pitch, and you're gone.
You wave to a few people, take a picture, and you're out of there. It's not something he really has to put too much thought into. But I think what it says to me is this guy, he's so nervous he'll throw a ball into the backstand or it'll triple bounce.
And I would love to see how they would defend that.
I don't think he thinks about it like that. I don't think he's worried about the actual throw to home plate.
What do you think he's worried about?
I don't know, but it's not that.
It's getting booed.
I think you'd be surprised.
Dude, a throw to home plate, you think he cares about it?
I think he does. If you never live that down. 50 Cent will never. Have you seen his throw? John Wall, Carly Rae Jepsen,
hey,
Gary Delabate from the Howard Stern Show. It's the worst. Michael Wilbon from PTI, he had like a tight tuck and a bad throw. I understand you're putting yourself out there.
Didn't Christie have a tight tuck on a throw, or was that he was playing?
That was when he was playing in that celebrity softball game. Chris Christie had
Holy
the tightest gear on.
Christmas, was this a tuck? This guy.
It was crazy.
Look it up if you want to see a tight tuck at third base.
Mm-hmm. We'll find it and tweet that out. Anyway, race coming up. We'll get back into LeBron, the Cavs. What are the chances that they drop even further down in the standings? And has it changed the way we feel about them come the playoffs?
Yeah. Are they that team kind of
really
like
matter?
The LA Kings have been for years where it's like, oh, as long as they get in, they're a favorite immediately.
So we'll continue to touch on that throughout the afternoon. And Leafs-Panthers tonight. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next. All right, we were talking about Chris Christie and his gear at that celebrity softball game and Donald Trump, the khakis he wears when he plays golf.
The moose knuckling going on.
Someone texting in saying those pants give Trump a serious moose knuckle. I've never heard that one before.
You've never heard of the moose?
I've never heard that.
Jonas, have you heard of the moose knuckle?
No.
It's a perfect description.
It is. It's just a bag of candy.
It's as if they don't have mirrors at any
strapped to your midsection.
Oh, dude. Any mirrors at any Trump International golf course. Anyway. All right. Leafs Panthers tonight. We got a poll question pertaining to what Buster Olney said on the morning show today. Big fan of Aaron Sanchez. We'll let you hear that. We'll describe it. We'll get into the poll question. Rays coming up. The Cavs are struggling. What's up with LeBron James? Jay Cutler's in the news. You seen the picture of Jay Cutler?
No, I have not.
All right. I'll tell you about that as well.
I usually catch those things.
It's not safe for work.
Oh, His really?
His wife kind of added him. Well, I'll tell you about it. I'll give you the details.
His twig and berries are showing?
No, other side. Reverse moose knuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Overdrive continues, TSN Go app.